Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So today we're jumping into something that, well, if you live in a multi-unit complex, a high-rise, maybe a townhouse block, you're probably living this every single day.
You definitely are. It's that whole world of community living structures.
Exactly. And we're going to get specific today, deep diving into the system they have in Australia called Strata, titled Living. We're pulling our insights from the Queensland Community Living Handbook, or the QCLH.
That's right. And for anyone listening who isn't familiar with the term Strata, just think of your condo association or, you know, an HOA. It's that legal framework for shared walls, shared costs, all of it.
That collective decision making.
Yep. And this handbook, it's not just a guide. It's described as a virtual encyclopedia. Our whole mission here is to kind of pull out the essential operating manual you need to survive and even thrive in this world.
So our mission is really a shortcut. We want to cut through the huge pile of legislation and just distill what you actually need to know. Whether you're a first-time buyer, you're on a committee, or you're just, you know, trying to figure out a noise complaint.
And that's so vital, because the real challenge here is always that friction between your individual rights and the collective's responsibility.
Right.
To get what the handbook calls harmonious living, you have to understand the roles of everyone involved. Not just you, but the managers, the committee, everyone. Without that, it's a real uphill battle.
Okay, so let's unpack this. The handbook seems to build expertise on four foundational pillars. It starts pretty logically, right? Just answering the question.
Yeah.
What on earth did I just buy into?
Exactly. Pillar one is an introduction to residential strata-titled environments. And this is more than just a legal definition. It gets you to understand what it means, fundamentally, to live in a shared property.
Like what's mine and what's ours.
Precisely. That line between private property and common property, that's where I'd say 90% of disputes start.
I can believe that.
So the handbook clarifies that, but it also, and this is important, it highlights the benefits. Things like shared maintenance costs, amenities you couldn't afford on your own. It shows you what good management can actually deliver.
So it sets that baseline. You know, the difference between changing your own light bulb versus the one in the common hallway.
Yeah.
That's the basic geography of it all.
That's a great way to put it. And once you have the geography, you have to get into the governance. Pillar two, the complex world of regulation.
You can't have community ownership without rules. But that's where I think a lot of people just get completely overwhelmed. So this is the essential rules and regulations part.
Yeah, and this is where we move from just understanding the concept to mastering the mechanics of it. The QCLH really stresses that it's not just about reading the fine print.
It's about navigating it.
It's about navigating a layered system. You have the state laws that govern the whole structure, the body, corporate, and then you have the specific bylaws that your community creates for itself.
Okay, so there's the big overarching law and then the local house rules. How does the handbook help people manage the, you know, the tension between those two?
It's all about empowerment. It focuses on process. Take pets, for example. That's a classic one.
Always.
The state law might say pets are generally allowed, but your bylaw might say, you know, only under a certain size. The handbook doesn't just tell you the rule. It shows you the correct legal way to change that rule.
Ah, so it's about agency.
It's pure agency. It shows you how to get on the committee, what the voting thresholds are. It's designed to turn apathy into action.
That's a really powerful distinction. It's not just about following the rules. It's about having some control over the rules themselves. But like we said, rules are only half of it. And here's where it gets really interesting, I think. Strata living is... Well, it's about people.
It's deeply human.
Mm.
And that brings us to pillar three, effective communication. And honestly, this might be the most critical piece for just day-to-day peace. You can have perfect rules, a perfect budget, but if people can't talk to each other, the whole thing falls apart.
We've all seen it. The passive-aggressive note taped to the mailbox, or that awkward silence in the elevator. So what kind of actual strategies does the QCLH recommend?
It moves away from punishment and towards procedural fairness. A key thing is teaching you to know the difference between a minor annoyance and a formal dispute.
Yeah.
The handbook provides a formal, structured process for complaints. It's about using written communication, sticking to timelines, And this is crucial, using formal mediation before you even think about lawyers.
So instead of just yelling across the driveway about the bins, you follow a clear, emotionally neutral path that actually leads somewhere.
Precisely. It's about building positive relationships. And a lot of that is proactive, you know, setting up a community barbecue, a neighborhood forum, something to build that social capital before a conflict ever starts.
Preventative maintenance for the community itself.
That's it. The best committees aren't just putting out fires. They're actively building a community where fires are less likely to start.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
That's what turns a block of concrete into a home. But as much as we love talking about neighborly harmony, we have to address the engine driving this whole machine.
Money.
Money.
And that takes us to pillar four, which for many residents is the most intimidating part, financial management.
Okay, let's unpack this because money matters. Strata budgets can be incredibly complex. You've got long-term forecasts, insurance, day-to-day costs. What are the key things the handbook wants people to get their heads around?
The main goal is to empower residents to make genuinely informed decisions. And the single most critical concept, the one you absolutely have to master, is the difference between your two main funds.
And those are?
The administrative fund and the sinking fund. Some places might call it a capital works fund.
Okay, walk us through that. Why is that distinction so important for someone who's just moved in?
The administrative fund is for your day-to-day short-term stuff. Think electricity for the hallways, paying the gardener, insurance premiums, minor repairs. It's the cost of keeping the lights on.
Got it.
The sinking fund, though, that's for the big, expensive, infrequent jobs. Replacing the roof in 10 years, modernizing the elevator, repainting the whole building.
So the sinking fund is basically a mandatory savings account for the building's future.
That is the perfect way to describe it. And the real insight here is about managing risk. A good body corporate will have a professional forecast done for that fund, looking maybe 10, even 15 years ahead to make sure enough money is being saved.
So what happens if they don't? If they set the levies too low to try and keep everyone happy?
You are starving the sinking fund.
Yeah.
And then when that roof suddenly fails, you get hit with the dreaded special levy.
Which is?
A huge, sudden, unscheduled cash call to every single owner to make up the shortfall. It can be thousands, even tens of thousands of dollars. So the handbook makes it clear. Residents have a duty, a financial responsibility, to vote for levies that actually reflect the building's future needs, even if it feels expensive right now. Because avoiding it just guarantees much more pain later.
That completely changes the frame. You're not just a bill payer. You're an active participant in long-term financial planning. So we've touched on the introduction, the rules, communication, and finance. It sounds like a complete curriculum.
It's positioned exactly that way. It's the path to go from being a nervous new owner to, well, a body corporate expert. And the way you get access is structured to help you take that first step immediately.
Right. Let's talk about the structure of the QCLH itself.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get access to this material?
The author, Steve Reynolds, set it up with a two-tiered system. It's really designed to get the most critical information out there with no barriers.
So what's the first step? The free entry point?
There's a free membership. And with that, you get the entire foundational chapter, Body Corporate Principles. The source calls it a 2,000-word mini book.
So it's not just a little preview.
No, it's substantial. And it's provided free for a specific reason, and I want to quote this, to encourage peaceful and harmonious living. The idea is to arm newcomers right away with the core concepts to help them avoid those common early mistakes.
That's a pretty powerful mission, basically injecting foundational knowledge into the system to promote peace. But for someone who reads that and thinks, okay, I need the whole encyclopedia, what's the next level?
That's the full access membership. It's $49. And for that, you get everything, all nine chapters of the handbook.
The real deep dives.
The deep dives into conflict resolution, specific committee duties, complex financial models. And importantly, it includes the QCLH app for your phone or tablet.
Access at your fingertips, which is key, right? These issues don't come up when you're sitting at your desk. They happen right before a meeting or in the middle of a dispute.
Exactly. Having that information mobile is what makes it practical. You can pull up a specific bylaw on the spot.
Now, with any guide like this, we have to mention the legal disclaimer.
Oh, absolutely. The handbook is very clear. The information, both free and paid, is general information only. It's a guide to help you make decisions, but it's not a substitute for professional advice tailored to your specific situation.
So you still need your own lawyer or financial advisor?
Always. This is a knowledge resource, not a personal consultation.
And just for context, the also is named as Steve Reynolds, and he can be contacted by email or even by snail mail at a P.O. box in Surfer's Paradise.
And if we just zoom out and connect all this back to the big picture, what this handbook really shows is that thriving in any kind of shared living environment, it's a multidisciplinary skill.
It's not just one thing.
No. You need a bit of legal know-how, you need some financial sense, and you absolutely need strong relational skills. They all have to work together.
It really is the operating manual for shared ownership. It covers everything from budgeting for a new roof in a decade to, you know, how to diplomatically talk to your neighbor about their overflowing recycling bin.
And it forces you to constantly connect that micro-level personal stuff with the macro-level governance. Those four pillars we talked about, introduction, rules, communication, finance, they're not separate subjects. They all intersect in every single decision that gets made.
So what does this all mean for you, our listener? I think we have to go back to that core motivation behind the source material.
Mm-hmm.
That essential 2,000-word introduction, Body Corporate Principles, is offered completely free of charge. And the stated reason is to encourage peaceful and harmonious living.
That one fact tells you everything you need to know about how difficult this can be.
Right.
If just achieving basic peace requires an immediate 2,000-word primer on governance and finance, just imagine what kind of challenges the other eight chapters are designed to solve. The real complexity isn't just the rules on a page. It's managing the expectations and finances of dozens or hundreds of different people all bound together by bricks and mortar.
And that leaves us with a pretty big question to think about. Is real harmony in these communities achieved by making the rules simpler or by making every single person who lives there more educated? Something to ponder.
Until next time, keep digging deep.